City of Angels. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, I told you, this is going to be one of those Coast to Coast classic shows. Now, when we come back, it'll be your phone calls, your turn, with our special guest tonight, John Lear, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. I'm George Norrie, John Lear with us. Your phone calls. We have put Richard in a capsule and have sent him on his way.
Thank God.
You love the guy, John.
I love him.
Where would we send him? To the moon or Mars? What do you think?
Just encapsulate him.
Just let it keep going.
Listen, wow. I want to say hello to Sally, Moppy, and Aaron, and I want to remind the listeners that they can see all this data on thelivingmoon.com. thelivingmoon.com or landoflegends.us. All this stuff here that Richard just can't quite swallow. Take a look at the pictures yourself. Take a look at the evidence.
I love hearing you and Richard get together on this because, you know, what's for me what's fascinating is of course, the expert of Cydonia and Mars. He brought that forward along with the several other people. And
well, I can't match his intellect. The thing is, George, I have the truth on my side.
Well, you know, you both come at it with different perspectives, and that's refreshing.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. You ready,
okay,
John?
Let's do it.
First time caller line, you're on with John Lear on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George, John. My name's Rob, calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Rob, thanks.
Hey, yeah, I'm really glad to be finally getting through. I've tried a couple of times before, but didn't get a chance to talk to you guys. I had a question and a comment. I wanted to know if, John, if you had put any filtering on any of these photos that you've put up on your web on the web. I've been filtering them in Photoshop for the past couple of hours since I first heard they were up, and I found a couple of interesting things. First off, if you negatize the images, they look like daytime shots from Earth, you know, atmosphere, things like that. And there's the sky, you can obviously see where it seems like scratches were made in the actual negatives of on the film to make the appearance of stars.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to filter anything yet, but I've just been doing that constantly for the past 2 hours. I'm just trying to...
No, one of NASA's problems with this whole Apollo program, with the moon program, is there is an atmosphere and there's gravity that holds the atmosphere in, and the sky is not black. And that's why those 15 truckloads of videotapes disappeared, is because they had no way to change the color of the sky. And so actually, if these are daytime shots, the sky is going to be blue or yellow, whatever it is. I don't know what color it is. I've heard that it's yellow. I've heard that it's blue. So that's what we're looking at there, and that was what NASA was faced with, and that's why some of the photo that was released to the public looked so fake, is because they had to blacken out the sky.
Okay, and I guess that's why when I negatize it, the sky giving it that quote unquote fake white look makes it look more like a daytime shot.
That's right.
Okay, well, great. I really appreciate that.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being a part of the program. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hey, John, I was wondering if there's any way to look at the geologic record and see if there's any evidence of there not being any high tides or low tides prior to 500 million years ago, and also if you think any other moons in the solar system were brought here from somewhere else.
I'm sure they were. There's, as I said before, all the planets are habitable. People similar to us live on them. Aliens live on them. There's certainly many of the moons were bought and put there.
Okay, and I just wondered about the geologic record. I have no idea if there's any way to tell.
You know, I don't know, but you could go to thelivingmoon.com and email Ron. He could help you.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
Okay, tell us about the soul catcher, John.
The Soul Catcher is the, what we, I think, is the 6-mile-high tower in the middle of Sinus Medi, right in the middle of the center of the moon. As you look at the moon, as you know, it's in rotational lock. It doesn't move. The same face points to us or toward Earth at all times. And the famous photo that Richard found, Lunar Orbiter 384M, shows that huge tower, and he also has two other photographs that that show that tower. I think that tower is what I call the soul catcher. When you die, your soul is goes to the soul catcher, and when you're born, just after you're born, they shoot your soul back into back down here into a small baby, probably one or two days old, sometimes as much as 2 or 3 weeks old. They want to be sure that the baby is going to live before they put a soul into it.
And that's where they store them?
Up there, yeah, that's one place they store them. Apparently, they have other places. Sleeper, who really knows a lot about this, had a had a really interesting thread, and I think you can still find it on AboveTopSecret.com, and it's called, "Are Extraterrestrials Real? As Real as the Nose on Your Face?" The thread is about 120 pages long, and it is so full of interesting information, and he talks about this soul issue.
Amazing. Let's move next west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, John. This is Richard in Humboldt County, California.
Hi, Richard.
Guys, we have these great rovers on Mars that have been operating for 4 years already. How come we don't have anything like that on the moon?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe we do, and they don't tell us, John.
No, we don't need those on the moon. We got guys up there mining. All they do is trip over them, and they've got business to do up there. They've got vehicles riding all around. They don't want to trip over a moon rover. They already know all they need to know about what's up there. Why would they put a moon rover up there?
Those rovers on Mars, though, have just worked splendidly, haven't they? Way beyond what anybody thought.
Absolutely. They go, you know, a mile this way, a mile that way. It's fantastic what they can find out. And, you know, I think, I forget which vehicle it was. I'm trying to think now. Spirit, I forget, a year or so ago.
Spirit and Opportunity. Two different ones, yeah.
Which was the one that ran out of power and the solar panels were...
Might have been Opportunity, but then the wind blew off or something.
No, the wind didn't blow, George, or whoever said that. Our secret astronaut team went up with some Windex and some Bounty paper towels and cleaned it off.
On Mars?
Yes.
No.
Absolutely, positively, without a doubt.
We flew up to Mars.
I got that from an ironclad source.
We flew up to Mars.
You can take that to the bank. We've been flying to Mars since 1966.
Polished it up.
And polished those solar panels up, and it's worked great ever since.
And then they came back.
That story about a dust being blown on and then blown off, it's fantasy. I mean, if you want to believe that stuff, it's okay. But NASA has people who sit there and dream up this. Well, let's tell them a whirlwind came along and blew the dust off.
See, I'm still waiting for that picture of an alien looking in on the camera or something like that.
No, the people on Mars look just like us. There's no alien up there. They're just like us. There's 600 million of them. Most of them live underground. They're a nice bunch of people up there.
Next up, Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, Happy New Year, George. This is Blair in Sedona.
Oh, thank you, Blair. You too.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Lear, you know, it's interesting, George Adamski's 1955 book, Inside the Spaceships, page 157 and 158, mirror exactly what you're talking about, breathable atmosphere, even vegetation, and it's located on the rim, you know, from the view on Earth, so we really can't see the clouds because they're not as thick as they would be on Earth, but they are there, and he says it's even temperate on page 158. Have you been influenced by this book?
I've read the book. I've also read Howard Mincher's book. I've also read Truman Bethaven's book, and they have some really interesting things to say. As a matter of fact, what they corroborate, what my sources say.
Well, if it also says that this group that Adamski got his information from says they have a large laboratory just beyond the rim of the moon, out of sight of Earth. So if that's the case, that means that our guys are working with these guys up there, unless they're coming from another dimension, right?
Not another dimension. They come from they come from probably another planet. But I think on the livingmoon.com, there's a picture of Zond that Zond 3 took, and it's an amazing picture. It was one of the first Russian pictures of the backside of the moon, and for some reason they didn't airbrush it. Now it's not that clear, but you can see gigantic structures there. As a matter of fact, on the edge on the limb of the moon from Zond 3, you can see a structure. It has three enormous tanks, and on the right side of it has an enormous arch. And the thing has got to be at least 20 miles long.